In Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. Amen. I don't think I'm going to get through it all, but hopefully we have next week. I'm going to still preach like a crazy man. Paul, writing in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, he said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all."
Amen.
In you all. All that believe that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. He's not in everybody. But if you believe all that, and that's a lot, you can comfortably say, "He's in me." Precious Lord, we thank you for the Word of God, and we pray right now that if God is not in someone here, or at the sound of my voice, that they would just drop to their knees and say, "God, be in me. Be in me. I want you in me, because what's in me ain't you. Because if what in me was you, was coming out of me wouldn't show up like it does. So I know something bad in me because of what I produce. So Father, I want you in me. All of me. Father, thank you. I know you hear my prayer and hear my cry. I cry like Paul, and I beg you that you walk worthy. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Paul, he knew the church was going to go through. Every team, whether it's a sports team, the more parts that you have, the more problems that you can have. You'll hear teams, an athletic team, they'll just get rid of a player. They don't always tell us why they got rid of a player, but, you know, you start talking to the other players, and they'll say they were a problem in the locker room. Okay, they was doing some things that, you know, there's a code that they have in all organizations and administrations, and whether it's a church or a club or even a unit. Some of you military folks, you always would have one or two people who cause problems in the unit. You know, you go through a different administration. Where I'm at work now, we have a whole new team, a whole new administration come in. They come in, and they're doing things different. Uh-huh. And they're doing things different than the last administration. And it's causing a problem for those who have a problem adjusting or staying in their lane. You have a problem in any organization and in the church. You know, I thought about this when we start talking about the church, and folks said, "Well, you know, we are a perfect church. We are a loving church." I hear that all the time. Okay? And I'm sitting here like, really? Okay? Church ought to be loving. It's something we ought to say, we're a loving church. But there's so much written in the Word of God about problems in churches. Amen. Problems in churches. Problems in churches. And today, what we're going to talk about is the unity of a great church. Now a great church gonna have problems. But a great church knows they have the resources found in the Word of God to overcome everything.
Amen.
God saved us. The Word of God said when He saved us, He gave us the spirit of reconciliation. You know, some days I just miss Deacon Nails. He just finished that for me. When He saved us, He gave us the spirit of reconciliation. He gave us the power to reconcile. The power to overcome some stuff. The power to deal with some things. Because things come up. Have to. They have to. Listen, anybody in here, and I know I've been married 35 years, some of you have been married longer, some of you have been married a little less. Listen, your marriage is stronger because of the problems you've overcome than it would be if it was just smooth sailing.
Amen.
Your marriage isn't going to get stronger because it's just wonderful. It's going to get stronger when it goes through something. Okay? And any church that's going to be strong, and really, this is a young church. Think about it. This is a young church. And if this church one day want to be strong, And we're going to have to go through something. Folks just can't cut and run. See, the church ain't growing in Youngstown. See, we think a church pop up on the south side and they got 300 members. And 50 come from one church, 20 come from another church, 20 come from another church, 20 from... That's not growth.
Amen.
That's just a transfer of church. Okay, and then when that get old, they start looking for the next exciting thing. And let me say something. And I, you know, one thing I love about Friday nights, because these men here know one thing for certain now. There ain't nothing in here to preach easy stuff.
Amen.
There ain't nothing in here you can sit here and just make everybody happy stuff. You know, I watch them. They just come to my office and Minister Brian just be pacing. And I'm like, you all right, man? Yeah, I'm all right. You know, I'm a little nervous. I say, hey, don't lose that. I say, you need that nervousness.
Amen.
You lose that, then you're in trouble.
Amen.
And you tell me, I'm good. I ain't nervous. And I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be good. Okay? So Paul, knowing this. Now, let me. Go to 1 Corinthians 11. This is interesting because here's a church that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1. You don't have to go to 1 Corinthians 1, but go to 1 Corinthians 11. But Paul said this about this church. It said this about the Corinthian church in chapter 1. He says, "So you come behind no gift, okay? Waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." What he was saying to the Corinthian church in chapter 1, verse 7, is that they had all the gifts were in operation. Everything was going on. You know, you hear people today talk about the fivefold ministry. You know, when they start talking about fivefold ministry, they start backing up, okay? Because they know fivefold ministry today. All the gifts not in operation today, okay? They just not in operation. We're going to talk about that when we start talking about one Lord, okay? So they start, we got a fivefold ministry. I know y'all heard it. I know y'all heard it. Some of y'all come out of Church of God in Christ, and some of y'all been in Pentecostal churches. All the gifts in operation. We healing folks, and folks speaking in tongues, and folks getting slain in the Spirit, and all that. Junk. Folks get slain in the Spirit. Well, if all the gifts is operation, then everybody be dead in the church, because when Ananias and Sapphira comes to come in there lying, folks be dropping dead. What happened to them? They got dead. You don't want all the gifts operating. I don't. Oh, Lord have mercy. Y'all, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, I give y'all something for y'all fivefold friends. I know y'all leave here and you go to that Baptist church. They is Bible. We got all the gifts in operation. We having a good time over here. Folks are just shouting and running and... First Corinthians 11. Now watch this now. This is a fascinating verse. And I've talked about this verse in Bible study on Wednesdays a few times, I believe. But Paul here is saying this in verse number 17. He said, now in this that I declare unto you, he getting ready to tell him something. He said, I praise you not. Now remember, now 1 Corinthians, the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, every chapter he had problems with him. Now they had all the gifts. But every chapter, they was suing folks, they was fighting in the church, folk was sleeping with their in-laws and mother-in-laws and grandmothers and stuff. And every chapter, you got a problem. Now we get to chapter 11, here's the problem. Here's the problem. He said, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not. Well, they probably come about used to that by now from Paul. That you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Now, that's heavy. See, because everybody don't come to church for the right reasons. Some folks get chippy. Some folks come to church with a chip on their shoulder. Dare you say something to me. You know, I just don't even know. I was saying in Bible study with the kids, I'd rather have somebody crazy all the time. All the time crazy. That's crazy all the time. Somebody said like you. Always up here to someone. You don't know where they at. You don't know what's good. You don't know how to approach them because you don't know where they at. And Paul says, see, that you come together, but not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, in verse 18, when you come together in church, now watch this. I hear, Paul said, I hear. Somebody has called Paul, was sending Paul a letter and visiting Paul and letting him know what was going on in church. Okay? Now listen now. When you visited somebody in jail in Paul's day, you wouldn't just get the little card, a badge. You know how we do it. Give a badge, you know, go see him. No. You have to stay in the cell with them until the guard decided to let you out. So you may go to prison and visit somebody and stay in there a month. Okay? And that's why when the Epaphroditus went to see Paul, he got sick. He almost died. Because he needed to go home. And he couldn't handle it like Paul. So when you spend that much time with people, they just start telling you everything. Okay, you get on the phone with some folks, tell them you get 1-2 hours, and before they know it, you know everything. Okay? Listen, he says this, for first of all, when you come together in church, he says this, I hear that there be divisions. Now watch this now. Among you, and partly I believe it. Now listen, folks, there ain't a church in town that don't have divisions. Okay? You know, you got divisions, you know. You got a section over here, a section over here, a section back there, a section over there. Some folks used to call them cliques when I was coming up. Or they still do? So it's always been a problem. But when we start talking about the unity of a great church, we have to recognize that the Word of God is true and there will be divisions, but I don't want to be a part of that. Okay? See, this is why the Word of God is given. Heard Mr. Bryan say in 1 Timothy to reprove and to correct and to get you right. Now, that's not what the Word of God said, but it's designed to get you right. So not so much, you know, the Word of God is rough and tough, but listen, you got to be right to go to heaven. Okay? See, listen, let me tell you something. Let me share this. I'm not real big on Black History Month and the little speeches and stuff. And you know, that's fine. Okay? But I'm a gospel preacher. Okay? Now that's fine, you know. You just gave your seat up and you didn't want to get your seat up on the bus. And that's fine, you built a cotton gin, and that's fine, you did the peanuts and all that. That's fine. Okay? But no one more important to me. Amen. Is that you get your behind in heaven.
Amen.
Okay? That's men. Listen, you can build the first traffic light, and that's wonderful. And you can build the first IV blood machine, and that's wonderful too. But listen, do all that and go to hell.
Amen. That's right.
Okay? See, we need to get folks into heaven.
That's right. Amen.
This is a saving shot. And I'm gonna preach the gospel. Listen, that's wonderful. I didn't trade. I got some skills and different things I do to make a living. But the most important thing, is that Marcus Garvey and George Washington Carver and you know the Underground Railroad lady, Harriet Tubman, get to heaven, Harriet. I want to see you in heaven. Okay? So you can free a whole lot of Negroes. Okay? I'll just keep 100. You can free a whole lot of folks and get them good jobs and good education. And hell going to be full of folks that was in the Underground Railroad. And they're going to be hell going to be full of folks that refuse to sit in the back of the bus.
Amen.
Let me say this. Okay? Because see, before them folks went out into the world, went out into the civil rights movement, they were trained in the church.
Amen.
They heard the word of God. They had faithful pastors and deacons and ministers that were teaching them, because that's the only way a black man got empowered back in them days.
Amen.
They got empowered in the church.
Amen.
In the church. Now, let me go back on that rabbit trail. Because I want y'all in heaven. And I want to see George Washington Carver and Harriet Tubman and the rest of them. See, y'all help me. Watch this now. Let me get back. Because I want the divisions. I don't want to lose my train of thought. Watch this now. Paul says this. You got to make sure you're on the right side of this. Okay? Make sure you're on the right side of this, because Paul is kingdom stuff here. Verse 19. For there must be heresies among you. Now when you see that word must, you know Paul's not playing. That word must mean must. It's going to be there. What's a heresy? It's a false teaching. It's a wrong. It's a issue that is meaningful but not to you. It's something you may be doing that you fine with, you comfortable with, but it's not biblically approved.
Amen.
Okay? Let me give you one of the great heresies when the Gnostics came and they said, well, you know, Jesus Christ really did not die on the cross. That's a heresy. Okay? So a heresy would be, you know what? We don't need to hear all that preaching. Tired of it. Preach too long. Paul said there must be heresies among you. Why, Paul? Why, Paul? Why must there be divisions? Why must there be heresies in the church? Now make sure you're on the right side of this. That they which are approved, parallel approval, not horizontal approval. Okay? See, some of you in here, you're doing crazy stuff and living crazy, and you get a horizontal approval. Well, horizontal approval won't get you in heaven. Okay? Let me say that again. Your friends and your boys and your girls and your family won't get you to heaven if what you're doing is not approved by God.
Amen.
Wow. Sometimes I just feel like that hunter that shot the deer. Let me read this one more time. For there must be heresies among you. Why, Paul? That they which are approved may be made manifest among you. They which are approved by God will be approved by God because they're not heretical. That their life and their teaching and what they pray and what they sing and what they do is approved by God.
Amen.
And not a performance. See, performances are approved by man. Oh, we give a standing ovation. Give me an encore.
Uh-huh.
You know, we like that. We like applause of man.
Uh-huh.
But if what you're doing is only getting the applause of man, then it's heresy.
Amen.
Watch this now. And when you come together, now I'm stopping. I ain't going there. Thank you, Lord. Listen, how do we get this unity? I want to have a great church. People ask me all the time, they say, well, how's the church going? It's great. Church is wonderful. How can I say that? Because I say it based on what God thinks of the church.
Amen.
I don't say it based on what man thinks of the church. Because somebody says, well, how's your church? Is it growing? They think it's just numerical. And money. You know, why are you still working? You need to be getting that money. No. Word of God being preached here.
Amen.
Word of God being taught on Sunday mornings. Word of God being taught on Wednesday night. So that's why I know it's a great church. That's why I know the church is doing well. Because God's word is being preached. Now, does everybody like it? I don't know. I can't speak for everybody. But I know when I sit over there where Jackie had, and I listen to these men preach, I hear the scriptures being preached and being explained. Now, whether folks hear it or not, that's a whole different thing.
Amen.
The job of the church is to declare what thus say the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? Now, Paul reading to this church, he's in prison writing this letter. And he's writing to this church from prison. And he said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. That's just huge. From a man in prison with every right to be mad and angry, he's telling the church to walk worthy, how, Paul, of the vocation where ye are called. Okay? How, Paul? How are we going to do this? Now, I gave you last week, I talked about the incarcerated Christian. When you get incarcerated, let me tell you something. It's designed to humble you. You get a new uniform, and you get the rules, and you know your place. See, some people don't know their place. See, when you get saved, you ought to know your place. And Paul says, you're really like a prisoner. And you're walking around in all lowliness. And meekness. A prisoner, you get a prisoner, he's meek. He's not proud no more. He's not arrogant. He's not boastful. He's been broken. And now he's meek. He's meek to everybody. Why? Because his life now depends on other folks. Paul said, when you come to Christ, now your life depends on me. One of the signs that someone is truly saved is they're going to cling to the Lord. They're going to cling to the scriptures teaching it. They're going to teach the scriptures. They're going to talk to folks about the scripture. You know if you got the right stuff. Okay? But here's Paul in verse 3. I know I'm moving a little quicker than I normally would. Because here's a big word. Here's a big word. Paul says this about unity. About unity. Having a unified church. It's important to Paul. It's important to Paul. It's important to God. He says, endeavoring, big word, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, that word endeavoring means they're going to take some work. It's going to take some soul searching. It's going to take maybe stepping back. It's going to take maybe examining yourself. See, examining other people is easy. When we look at other people, we see things we don't like. But it's hard to look at ourselves and sometimes see things that we don't like. See, this is why when next week or the week after we have our first Sunday and the Word of God says, let a man examine himself. Okay? Because we'll spend a whole month examining other folks. Okay? critiquing the pastor and critiquing the ministers and critiquing the choir and critiquing, you know, what the ushers is wearing and who ushering and who not ushering and all that go on. But take a moment. Take a moment. Get to yourself. Turn off everything. Get into a quiet place and ask the Lord, Lord, help me with this because it's difficult. But I need to examine myself. Examine myself. Am I all that I should be? Or am I just playing a game? Or I'm just a performer? Or I'm just an actor? That word actor really means hypocrite. So you talk to a lot of lost folks. And number one reason why lost folks, they don't want to come to church. Say there's too many actors. Too many actors. Or too many hypocrites. Folks who say they Christians, but give no evidence of it. J. Vernon McGee passed away in 1984, expositor of God's Word. He said he visited the church. He was there for a week, and he visited the church. And he came in on a Sunday morning and heard a woman singing Amazing Grace. It was so beautiful. He said he was in tears. It was so beautiful. It brought him to tears. And then he said, and that Tuesday or Wednesday, he went to the bank to cash a check. And he had looked in the back. He heard a ruckus in the back of the bank, and where you can see where the tellers be at. And he heard all this cussing and swearing and just going at it. And lo and behold, he looked back there and he saw the same woman that had blessed his heart with amazing grace. Pastor, what are you talking about? There's so much to talk about. When we start talking about the church, it should be a place where folks are so hospitable. It ought to be some people even call it a hospital. Folks come in here to sick. And last thing you want to see when you're sick is a mad doctor, angry nurses. And let me tell you something. I just talked to a lady the other day and she was here from Colorado talking to the doctors, and the doctor was telling her, you have a right to sue the way they treated your mother who had just passed away in the hospital. Think about that. Think about if this was a hospital. Christian Bible Baptist Hospital. And we was all working there. Doctors and nurses and techs and secretaries. Janitors. What would a sick person, how would a sick person get treated if they came here? Think about that. Think about that. I think about that when I look at Romans 12. I had to take a lot out of my sermon because Minister Brian just he just preached half of it on Friday. So when I look at Romans 12, now Paul is still giving instructions. Now he's taught Romans 1 through 11, all doctrine, who you are, what you should do, who you were, what God did, and how God did it. Now he says, therefore, in chapter 12, verse 1, you know that one. Therefore, my brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now watch what he says back in verse number 9. Now, because he's talking about the church. He says this: let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Now let me say something about that. That's the evil on the outside, and that's the evil that is on the inside. See, when we think about abhor evil, we think about evil on the outside. See, there's some evil on the inside that we ought to abhor, and we ought to be on our knees. God, get this evil out of me. I know I ain't right. I know my attitude is bad. I know my mouth is fly. I know I get too jazzy. I know I can be disrespectful. Deal with that. You ought to abhor that. If that's in you. You know, I was teaching this morning. I'm going to tell you something. When you're teaching kids. And I was sitting here and I was saying today in class. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I was talking about, Paul was talking about in conversation. Okay? And in word. See? Folks that got a real problem with their mouth usually got a problem with their heart. And a couple of kids, and they were like, okay? My mama. My daddy. Need a new heart, Pastor. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. You got a job to do. God has given you an assignment to do it. Don't be slothful. Don't be slothful. If God gives you an assignment, don't be slothful. I don't expect these men to be slothful. I don't expect the church. I expect to come in here on Sunday morning. The church is tore up. Okay? And Margaret and Ann, I'm going to say, Margaret and Ann, get y'all clean the church today. And then y'all would say the same thing. I know y'all would. Y'all would say, man, Pastor, you could tell he didn't prepare for that message. So I have to prepare because we don't have no musician in that. We don't have that high power choir that I can run all the way to quarter to one. See, some preachers got high power choirs. They pay the musicians $400 or $500 a month. Listen. Get me to a quarter to one. You know what I'm talking about. Get me to a quarter to one. And I'll whoop and whoop for 10 minutes and get them running around. And they'll go home and say, well, we had church today. Yeah. Well, man, Pastor preached today. He laid it out. Boy, he tore it up. Pastor and the musician high five. These fools don't know the difference between preaching and entertainment. Be not slothful in business. Be fervent in spirit. I love that one. Be fervent in spirit. And if you don't get up here and do anything for the Lord, you ought to be fervent about it. You ought to be excited about it. That ought to be responsive reading, to doing an announcement, to doing a prayer, singing, whatever we do for the Lord, we ought to be excited. We ought to do it with some energy. Okay. First giving honor to God who's ahead of my life. Come on, man. How do you want me preaching? You know, true Christians must be given to hospitality. No! Y'all don't believe Jesus preached like that. You think Paul preached like that? These guys was fervent in spirit. Paul couldn't say be fervent in spirit. He wasn't. I couldn't say it. I couldn't say be fervent in spirit. Be excited about what you do for God. If you just read Scripture, your response to reading, hit it. Hit it. Be fervent. Be excited. Minister Brian, I'm not have to be running around here looking for somebody. Listen. I'm almost inclined to tell them, listen, don't ask nobody to do nothing. I do it. They don't want to do it. You got no juice. School teacher asked them to do something, they jump through a building. No fervency. Let me keep going. Get on y'all nerves real bad today. Rejoicing in hope. Let me go back. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. I be talking about BBS. Let me tell you something. I be talking to Cindy Bryant. Y'all think I don't? I do. She comes set my office and I'm trying to get them ready. This is big. People come in here, little kids come in here, parents come in here. They don't need to see folks flying around. Oh, Lord, I got to take another name. I got to write another name in. Tired of these kids. People know when you get tired of their kids. They know them kids going to get on y'all nerve. That's why they bringing them here. They're bringing them here so they can get them a break. Oh, they wait for that sign to go out there. They planning, they doing time. I'm going to go to get my toes done. BBA, they waiting. I'm telling you, they waiting right now for the sign out there so they can say, I'm going to get my toes done. I'm going to get me a salt bath massage. Thank you, Deacon Oliver. Listen. Watch this now. Stay with me. I think this is big because hospitality just runs through the Bible. And we start right now getting hospitable. The church ought to be hospitable. What's what Paul says to this church? He says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, watch this, given to hospitality. The man of God is told to teach it. Church ought to be hospitable. It ought to be hospitable. It ought to be a place where folks are just nice. Why? Because you've been saved. You've been delivered. God has saved you and forgiven you all your sins. How could you not be nice? How could you not be nice? The only way you cannot be nice is if nothing has happened. You cannot tell me that you've been delivered from sin and death and Hades and not be nice. A bishop must be blameless. The husband of one wife, you know what that means? He must treat his wife nice. Or he's going to have two or three of them. The husband of one wife, he's treating her nice. Vigilant. He's making sure that everything is right about him. It's a work involved. Sober of good behavior. Ought not behave bad. But the last one, given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. Are you hospitable? If you're not hospitable, you ought not be doing nothing. You ought to be hospitable. Should preach to somebody called Teddy, somebody called Big Dave, listen, a hospitable person could do it. Call Marion. Call somebody you ain't seen them in a couple of weeks. Well, I'm just calling, checking on you. I remember a time that a pastor couldn't leave the church without a cake. Just cakes. Old deacon walk up to him and shake his hand, put $100 in it. I shake deacon's hand. I've been shaking his hand since I came here. Listen, that was Paul talking to Timothy. Then he goes and talks to Titus. He says, Titus, you too. He says, Titus, teach him this, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. Watch that. A lover of hospitality. You love hospitality? Oh, my goodness. I got to keep going. I want to get somewhere. Unity. How many know the difference of unity and disunity? See, worldliness and godliness always at war at the church. Worldliness and godliness is always at war at the church. Okay? When anytime you have disunity, you have worldliness then crept in. See, worldliness is always attacking unity because the world don't want to see the church unified. Because a unified church is a powerful church.
Amen.
So the world want to come in with his worldliness and his worldly ways and his worldly attitude. Sometimes you don't understand where you at. Uh-huh. This is the house of God. But see, a worldly person don't care about that.
Amen.
A worldly person don't care about this being the house of God. And really, to a worldly person, it's just another house. There's a behavior that comes when you step on the grounds of the church, you on holy ground. You ought to see. I have to be out there. I'm getting old. I know some of y'all ride by the same bottles I ride by. Some of y'all see the same bags in the parking lot that I see. And I pick up a bag. Stop them kids. They're young. Stop them kids. And say, get out and get that bag. Somebody threw it on God's holy ground. Unity. Disunity. Are you a unifier? Paul says this. How do we keep it? How do we keep it, Paul? Paul says, in a bond of peace. I like that. In the bond of peace. You know what Paul's saying? He said a unified church is like a church. They all believe the same thing. They all have the same faith and the same Lord and the same God. And it's like God has taken a big old belt. In the military, we call them duty belts. And on that duty belt, you can hold all your stuff. You have your weapons, your guns, your handcuffs, your mace, your baton, all that on that duty belt. And that duty belt is designed to hold a lot of stuff. A little bit uncomfortable. Okay? Well, you don't want to be caught without it. Let you know it's there. So we put that bond on, that belt, and it holds everything together. And you got to want to be held together. You know, and people will say this to me. You know, I talk to my brother a lot, and he'll say, you know, well, Pastor needs to do this. Pastor needs to tell him. I say, let me tell you something, Tom. I say, Tom, let me tell you something. These volunteers. Okay? The only way you're going to get folks to do the right thing in church, you got to love them to do it. You got to love them to do it. See, there are only two people in here I can really tell what to do. And that's Margaret and Ann. I say, Margaret, I come in here on Sunday, you got scuff marks all down the church, all scuff marks everywhere. Did you clean? Y'all don't want to know what she said, but... Okay? But you understand that I'm going to try to love your guys, but I can't love you guys if I don't show love. Amen. If I don't show love, Jake preached that message on temperance. I got to be temperate. See, some of y'all ain't temperate enough to do this yet. And you know it too. I can't do that because I'm going to tell somebody. Everybody. So I got to wait. See, I got to wait. I got to wait. I gotta wait. I gotta be patient. Cause some folks just come around slow. Amen. Everybody not moving at the same speed. Right. See? Right. Oh, yeah. Get them. Sick them. No. Love them. Yeah. Love them. Cause God loved me. Mm-hmm. He so loved me so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And you gotta love them into obedience in the church. Now on the job, you can write them up. Take them to the labor rep. You know, but here you got love them in them. You got love into the kingdom. You got love into doing right. Let me share this with you. We talk about that bond of peace. Paul said in the bond of peace. But when he got past that, he says, there's one Lord. I don't have the Bible open in front of me. I hope I'm right. Let me go to Ephesians. Let me make sure I do this right. Because this is important. I want y'all to know this. I'm gonna sit down. So. He says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I like that. Now watch this now. Why, Paul? Why? There is one body. Okay? There ain't 100 bodies. There ain't 100 bodies. There may be thousands and thousands of churches, but the one body is made up of those who believe. Okay? See, I hear it all the time. Well, I believe in God, because I hear that all the time. Y'all know my standard answer for that. What's God? And is it with any but one? Beg the difference. There's a whole lot of gods. There's only one that had a son. Okay? A lot of them didn't. Okay? So there's one body, And that's the church. But that's a church that believes. The church that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for your sins, who was crucified on Calvary's cross and buried and rose on the third day. One body. Now, I ain't talking about universalism. Okay? We got some universalists running around and they say, well, you know, everybody's a child of God. Wait a minute. I honestly say got more kids than God.
Amen.
I just do. I know he does. Because I meet more of them than I meet God's kids. Satan got a lot of kids. There's an old saying. What happens if a child of God marries a child of devil? That made God the devil's father-in-law. I don't know if I said that right. Can't be right. Because a child of God should not marry a child of the devil.
Amen.
Oh, I'm getting in trouble. Amen. We all been there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Some of y'all done dated a child of the devil?
Mm-hmm.
Saved folks? Huh. Lord have mercy. Who your daddy? Satan. See, the first question you're supposed to ask him, first question out of your mouth, now child of God. Child of God, first question, are you saved?
Amen.
Amen. I won't get no dates, Pastor, if I tell them I'm saved right off the rip. Well, I can't find dating in the Bible anyway. It ain't nowhere in there. You know? John said he got a girlfriend already. Nine, 10 years old, broke with a girlfriend. Well, I got $10. $12. Okay. All right. Watch this now. There is one body and one spirit. One spirit. Somebody say, well, there's a lot of spirits. You better believe there's a lot of spirits.
Uh-huh.
There's a whole lot of spirits. You know what? Let me share this with you. And them spirits will talk to you. See, and we don't understand all the time that there's a lot of spirits.
Uh-huh.
But Paul said there's only one for the people of God.
That's right. Amen.
But there's a whole lot of spirits. Let me tell you something. Let me share this with you. Acts 19. You guys know this story. But when I read it this time, every time I read it, I see something else. But when I read it this time, I seen something I had never thought about before. These spirits will talk back to you. See, sometimes you'll be thinking God is answering you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ain't right, God ain't answering you.
Uh-huh.
God don't answer all your prayers. Satan will.
Uh-huh.
Satan tell you, well, you know what? You right. You right. You should have told him. You had a right to. You have your rights. He was out of line. She was out of line. Watch this now. And certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. Now watch this now. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests which did so. Now this is what I thought was interesting, because these evil spirits start dialoguing with them. See, sometimes you're not right with God. You know you're not right with God. And you singing, and you praying, and you preaching, and you doing, you can't be going to God's word. Satan give you a message too. See, we so spiritual. We think everything we hear, and everything we sing, and everybody that's praying is praying in the Lord, praying to the Lord. We have to be careful. You have to be careful. That's what I say all the time. You're not studying your Bible. You're not praying and fasting and thinking about the things of God and united and unified faith. You be careful. You be careful with the microphones. Don't let these folks get you up here in front of people, and because one day something's going to come out of your mouth. I didn't heard it before. You had to be careful. You're not right with God and you singing. You're not right with God and you praying. 10 minutes of praying, nothing to go on with that. Some folks, don't be begging. Claire, don't be begging folks to sing. Somebody tell you they don't want to sing, then leave them alone.
Amen.
You don't know what's going on with them. I used to be at a church and deacon would be gone for 6 months. And then come back and pastor, let him pray. I don't want to hear him. I don't know where he's been. He ain't been here and I might exaggerate 6 months, but 4 or 5 weeks. He ain't been in church in 4 or 5 weeks. Don't come to Bible study. Don't come to prayer meetings. Don't do nothing. Man. Our Father who art in heaven. Listen. Because them evil spirits will speak. You can't hang around evil spirits and then pray.
Amen.
Sing. And all that. You hang around evil all week. You know, Spurgeon used to say, you can't run with goats and preach and sing to sheep. Sheep are delicate. They ain't smell the goat on you. Let me keep going. I'm going to get somebody ready for me for big BBS. Because some of us don't need to be working nothing. You don't need to be messing with no kids. You ain't right. You don't need to be leaving kids alone. These are delicate sponges. They're sensitive. And you can teach them and form them and guide them. But what you going to guide them with? You sitting around watching the guiding light all day. Hawaii 5-0. CNN. Fox. Then the kids come in and you watching Empire 5. Lord have mercy. And then the kid, did you watch Empire? What you think of that? Where that's at in the Bible? Where Empire at? Turn to the book of Empire. Now, let's just be honest. Can we just be honest sometimes? We get ready to invite the lost world into our church and 90% of the church in here, we put all the minutes we spent reading the Bible this week, probably wouldn't be a half hour. But we get ready to minister to the world. What are we going to minister with? And the evil spirit answered, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know, but who are ye? And I think the evil spirit was being nice when he said, who are ye? Because I can see him saying some other stuff in there. Evil spirits don't talk nice like that, but who are ye? Now, I can see some stuff in there. You know, when they want to be cutting with X's and all kind of little... But who, X, Y, Z, U, 1, 3, double dot, special mark, are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was. Wait a minute, let me go back. This evil spirit is talking, Deacon Oliver.
Yeah.
This evil spirit answered and said, come on now. Who are you? Paul didn't hit me on the head a few times. I have no respect for you. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are ye? Who are ye? Who are you? Now that's the question I have to ask you guys. Who are you? Do the evil spirits know you? Let me. One Lord. One Lord. I'm not gonna be able to get through all this. We're gonna be on one faith next week because I don't wanna mess it up. But one Lord. One Lord. What does he mean? One Lord. Because there's a lot of Lords. There's a lot of lords out there, but this one says there's one Lord.
Mm-hmm.
One Lord that walked on water.
Amen.
One Lord that raised Lazarus from the dead.
Amen.
One Lord. There's a whole lot of folks gonna call themselves lords. There's one Lord that turned water into wine.
Amen.
See, there's some bootleg folk out there.
Uh-huh.
See? They don't want the water and wine. I remember when they first came out with them little packs. Get you a bottle of water. Turn the packet. I say, Cindy, I'm making this story. I'm just saying a true story. I say, Cindy, I'm getting ready to turn that water into wine. I'm getting not water into wine, but water into Kool-Aid. She's like, you can't turn that water into Kool-Aid. I said, I can turn that water into Kool-Aid because I'm a man of God. I say, close your eyes. I got to get my pack, poured it in her water. Open your eyes. Drink it. I usually save the best Kool-Aid for the end of the party, but. Folks, listen. Lord have mercy. All right, that's cool. I know that was bad. There's only one Lord who can forgive sins. One Lord said, I can forgive you. You do something to me, and you say, I'm sorry, Pastor. I shouldn't have called you that. And I said, I forgive you. But see, only God can forgive your heart. Yeah, only God can forgive your intentions. I can't. One God. Not only walked on water, one God. One God. Remember the story? The demon-possessed man? When God got done with him, he was sitting at Jesus' feet. See, I deal with demon-possessed people all day. That's all I deal with on my job. And I know what they need. And I know what they need. You know what they need. They need the Lord. They need the Lord. Preach to them with authority. Then they need to call out on the Lord. Jesus spoke to this man. And he sat at his feet. Like clothing in his right mind. You know, Acts is a great book. Paul was saying, well, I believe this might have been Peter in Acts 4. He's listening. There is none other name. Okay? None other name under heaven whereby man must be saved. What's the name? Jesus. Jesus. One Lord who has that kind of power. One Lord. Not two, not three, not four. One Lord. And now you got to believe that. We're going to be a unified church. You can't come in here believing all kind of crazy stuff. And there's some crazy stuff out there. Y'all know it's out there because y'all have friends and people and get on Facebook and listen to what some folks believe. It's crazy. We live in a crazy world. But God says there is one Lord. Okay? Next week we're going to talk about that one faith because it's just worth spending time on. One faith. One faith. Not the word of faith. One faith. One faith. One Lord. One body. One spirit. One hope. There ain't two hopes. See, there ain't the hope that... See, this is what gets me with the whole Black History Month thing. Okay? Because we say, well, you know what, these folks came out of the slavery and they came out and they got stuff now. They created stuff and they did stuff and that's wonderful. But you know what? It's more wonderful. They know Jesus.
Amen.
That they know Jesus. So, celebrate Black History Month. Use it as an opportunity to share Jesus.
Amen.
Share the Lord. You know why I used to teach a class? Taking any subject and turning that thing into evangelism. Okay? And I go into all the prisons teaching it. And you take a basic conversation. You know? Take the Super Bowl. And Brady got five rings now. Five rings. What is they going to mean when he steps into heaven? Lord, you shaking my head because you know. Well, you know, stand before the Lord and unsaved and lost. And he got five rings. And I got five rings. What do you think the Lord going to say? He going to say, I never knew you, Tom. I never knew you. You know, based on based on Muhammad Ali's confession of faith and based on what I believe. I don't say what y'all believe. I don't know what y'all believe all the time. Because some of y'all say, well, Ali in a better place now. But based on what I know about the Word of God and based on his confession that Allah has no son, there's no doubt about it. I won't be seeing him in heaven. Now, people, okay, don't say that. That's mean. That's not mean. That's Bible. And the Word of God is mean. That's why they crucified everybody to preach it. They hated everybody to preach. Nobody want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. Muhammad Ali, he was the greatest. He was the heavyweight champion of the world. But he did not believe that God had a son named Jesus who died on Calvary's cross for his sins. And he took that to the grave with him. He took it to the grave with him. So, Pastor, that's a little bit too much. It may be. It may be. But it's the Word of God.
Amen.
And God has commissioned me to proclaim it. And you got a Muslim friend. You know, I tell my wife and all her family, they go up to the Jewish Community Center and they, you know, well, Kiara got her membership to the Jewish Community Center, and she said, Pastor, you going to come work? Listen, Kiara, they killed Jesus there. Them Jews killed Jesus. They hate Jesus. I'm not going in a place that hate Jesus, okay? My brother-in-law called me. He's like, hey, I'm in Columbus. You want to work out with me? I'm going to the Jewish Community Center. I'm not going to the Jewish Community Center. Well, Pastor, you take everything too far. I do. I don't have no choice. I'm not going to the Jewish. And I know some of y'all going there, silver slippers and silver slippers and silver sneakers and all that. They ain't got Jesus on the walls. They ain't got nothing about the Lord on the walls in there. I'm telling y'all this.
Amen.
I take it too far. Y'all been to parties there. Baby showers there. I ain't going to no baby shower to Jewish Community Center. You want me not to come? Have it at the mosque or have it at the Jewish Community Center.
Amen.
All right, I'm done.